Well, good morning. This is study number 9 of Festivals of God as a Prophetic Calendar. Getting to the portion of the study that scares me. So let's review, because that doesn't scare me. Not so bad. Okay, Leviticus 23. I'll tell you why it scares me in a minute. Leviticus 23, we're going to read verses 1 through 22. The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times," we said that word meant moed, appointments, okay, like on a calendar, "which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation." Keep that in your mind. We're going to come back to that. "You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its libation, 1/4 of a hin of wine." Don't you wonder what all this stuff means? I'm not going to teach you. You'll have to continue wondering. But I can promise you this, that not one jot or tittle will depart from God's instructions till all things are fulfilled. And just because we don't understand all of the little nuances, they're there for a reason. And he's going to spend all eternity revealing to us things that no man here can teach. Where did I stop? What's that? Yeah, a lot of it I don't know. I'd be the first one to tell you that. I tell you, when you sit under a teacher who thinks he knows everything, go get a different teacher. I'm sorry. Just unless it's Jesus himself or the Holy Spirit, don't just run away. That guy's scary. That's where false messiahs come from and cults. Until verse 14, until the same day, I'm not sure where I stopped. Is that it? Until the same day until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 completed Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling place 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread, you shall present 7 1-year-old male lambs without defect and a bull of the herd and 2 rams. They are to be a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offerings and their libations, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma to the Lord. You shall also offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 male lambs, 1 year old, for a sacrifice of peace. Then the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits of a wave offering with the 2 lambs before the Lord. They are to be holy to the Lord for the priest. On this same day you shall make a proclamation as well. You are to have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. It is to be a perpetual statute in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleanings of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Let me back up just a touch and say, I could teach some of those things. And they'd probably be interesting. But I don't think some of this stuff you need to root out yourself. If it interests you, go after it. I'm very interested in concepts, pictures. That's the way God has led me all of my life. When I endeavored to become an auto mechanic, it wasn't because I was a kid that tinkered. I didn't tinker. Living in an apartment in New York City, they didn't really like you to tinker with things. It was not a good thing. We weren't encouraged. Tinkering was not encouraged. When I became an auto mechanic, God grafted into my brain concepts. I learned most of my basic automotive knowledge from reading the first page of the 1970/71 Chrysler service manual. When it talked about electrical, it talked about the basic principles of electricity. When it talked about gear ratios or rear ends, it dealt with the basic principles, and God gave me the concept. I am a conceptual learner, and I am a conceptual teacher. God gives me a concept, and I try to impart that concept. So that's one of the reasons why I could teach the book of Isaiah in 1 year. And we could have spent the rest of our lives in the book of Isaiah. And some of you would have fallen asleep and dropped off and went to a different class. But feel free to go back and study some of these things. All these things have reasons. They all have purposes. They're all pictures. But they may be too much depth for us at this time. Okay? So we've just read Leviticus 23:1-22. If you did not hear last week's teaching, it's posted on my website, and I recommend it. Not because I'm such a well-spoken teacher, but because I believe that the Lord really spoke very clearly some pictures that are very important for us to grasp hold of. We've been teaching the festivals of God, the appointments of God as a prophetic calendar. And I told you some weeks ago that we were going to, in essence, divide them into two, the spring festivals and the fall festivals. Well, the spring festivals were completed last week. We talked about the Feast of Weeks, the pouring out of God's word from Mount Sinai and the giving of the law, or the proper word for Torah is instructions, and how the people were instructed. And then on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, God poured out his spirit, and in the same picture, he birthed the church. And we talked a little bit about the concept of a marriage contract. I don't know why it's not really portrayed this way. I think we go to great lengths to woo people into the kingdom, which is not what was done in the New Testament. They didn't try to woo people. They did try to persuade by godly arguments, but I just don't see some of the methods of evangelism that we've invented as biblical. I'm not saying that to put anything down. Whatever works, hallelujah. If people get saved, God bless them. But don't compromise the Word of God in order to try to trick somebody into the kingdom, because sometimes you don't get people into the kingdom. You get tares among the wheat. You get false brethren because they're not committed. Now, what God did for us is unbelievable, and it was always his intention. And the festivals demonstrate that. We've got the Passover. You were ripped out of Egypt. The only reason there was no leaven in you on the day when you got saved is because you didn't have time to put any in. That's what happened to Israel. They didn't have time for the bread to rise. There was no leaven. And so, too, there was a point in time where you were like, oh, I see it. Yes, I want it. And before you had a chance to leaven that thought, God snatched your heart. And you were born again. Okay? Then, the next day, as we just read, begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's a 7-day festival, 7 being a completed number. Now, as a believer, it's your job to root the leaven out of your life. And that job will continue until the day that Jesus comes back or you go to see him. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, a spring festival. Okay? We talked about first fruits and the resurrection of Christ occurring 3 days. We dealt with some of the numbers, so it came out right. Guess what? Resurrection from the dead is a spring festival. You're going to partake of the resurrection of the dead because he partook of the resurrection of the dead. Then we talked about baptism. We kind of threw that in. It's not a feast or a festival, but it occurs right in the midst of there. And we talked about getting on the other side of the Red Sea, crossing the Red Sea. Now you're on the other side. And Moses says, those Egyptians that you've seen, you're never going to see them again. When you're baptized, you do not any longer have to hang out with the Egyptians that you spent your worldly life with. The sins, those former sins, the sins that you did by nature, are buried with him in baptism. And you're resurrected into newness of life. And then we went out into the promised land? Oh, no. Oh, no. Whoever told you after you were born again you were in a promised land told you wrong. You are in the wilderness. This is not the promised land. And you will spend your generation in the wilderness. You will enter into the promised land when you cross the Jordan River. Okay, so there they were out in the wilderness with the presence of God, the Shekinah glory flame at night, a beautiful covering during the day, bread from heaven every morning, and they went to the point where God said, okay, let's get married. Moses went up and he received the word of instructions, God's commitment to the people and God's requirement for the people to commit to him. And we used the picture of the ketubah, the marriage contract, and we said that that was the betrothal. Moses broke those because the people had already fallen into sin. Now keep in mind, they fell into sin while the Shekinah glory was there at night, while the holy covering, okay, was there during the day, while they had manna, in 40 days they fell into sin. And before you're too quick to condemn them, keep in mind that you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life every minute. You have the Shekinah glory, you have his holy covering, and you have his divine preparation. And when you fall into sin, you're just like them. So the marriage was not consummated in the wilderness, but it will yet be consummated. Because God, remember we talked, we talked about the covenant of the parting. I think that was in the book of Isaiah, but I don't know when I talked about it. And that was the covenant that God made with Abram. He said, Abram, I'm going to do all kinds of good stuff, okay? I'll tell you about it later. What do you want me to do, God? Oh, I want you to go and get these animals and lay them out. And he cut them in half, and remember the whole story, and he didn't cut the birds, and he laid them out. Well, the tradition of that day, the way there wasn't, you didn't go down and have Greg Boyer notarize your signature and post it at the courthouse. This is the way a covenant occurred. The animals were split, and the two parties walked between those blood sacrifices as an indication of their covenant. That was a legal binding agreement. That was the legal binding agreement. You go back and read that Genesis account, and you'll find out that only one passed through that offering. Only the flaming pot and the beautiful smoky pot and flaming fire passed through. Abram didn't go through there. And when you were born again, there's really only one that covenanted. All you did was say, amen, so be it. And that should be very comforting to you, because even when Moses goes up on the mountain and you fall into sin, God doesn't break covenant with you when you broke covenant with him. And that's the whole point. When you read Jeremiah 31:31, behold, I'm going to make a new covenant with you, not like the old covenant which you broke. Oh, yeah, I guess we did. We broke, but no, he's not going to break covenant with us. He made a new covenant. And he made one that we will not be able to break. He wrote it in our hearts and in our minds. And that's the wonderful, glorious thing about the redemptive work of God. Now, the reason I said at the beginning of this that I'm a little nervous at this point, and I really am. I struggled with this. I didn't even put notes on paper until 6:30 this morning. And the reason is because the spring festivals are all fulfilled. Every one of them is fulfilled. It's either fulfilled eternally or it's being fulfilled regularly in those that are being saved. They're all fulfilled. But the fall festivals speak of the return of the king, and they are not fulfilled. And so, because they're not fulfilled, it's really easy to read in the newspaper about the football game on Sunday and pick all the mistakes out and all the good points. But it's kind of hard on Monday to tell what's going to happen next Sunday at the football game. Okay? You can have a pretty good idea based on the strengths of the teams and their talent and their ability, who's healthy, the weather conditions, and so on and so forth. But to accurately predict it, you still see through a glass darkly. And so when dealing with a book of this nature, when dealing with scripture of this nature, it's prophetic. And so we have an understanding, and that is, I will teach these things, but you can't take them all to the bank, okay? We're going to have some pictures, and we're going to have some scripture to confirm these things. We're going to talk about some oral law once again today. And I really would appreciate prayer, because I have thought about and studied these things for years, and some in depth and some lightly, because prophecy scares me, because I want to be right. But so if you think about it during the week as I wrestle with these things, just lift me up, that we would learn together things that will be beneficial for us in preparation for the final time. Okay? Back to Leviticus 23. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder. By blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation, you shall not do any laborious work, but you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. I'm going to read through verse 37 and then we'll go back. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on exactly the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Neither shall you do any work on this same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. God's not too serious about this holiday, right? Oof. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening, from evening until evening. You shall keep your Sabbath. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of this seventh month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to the Lord, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and libations. Each day's matter on its own day. Okay. Did you notice anything about the next three festivals? They all have one thing in common. What's that? No, all of them had that. Who said that? They all occur in the seventh month. Okay? Remember, I started teaching in chapter 23, and I spent a whole week talking about the Sabbath. This is so super critical to us in the time where we are right now, because there remains a Sabbath day rest for the people of God, And the Jews have always looked at the millennium as that great Sabbath to which we are all headed. And when you are on the Sabbath day, you rest from all your work. The Sabbath day is the day that God rested from his own work. And we're made in the image of God, and we're supposed to rest. And resting does not just mean sitting back with the remote control and watching football. It's good. I'm not saying anything bad about that, Lainey. Don't get nervous. Lainey grabbed her hat. She was like, I'm out of here. I'm talking about rest. I'm talking about the Sabbath rest of God that can take you through whatever happens in your life. Every one of us has experienced that at some point in time. Something disastrous has happened to you, and yet you were able to walk through it. And you walked through it, and you turned around and looked back and said, wow, that guy went through that really easy, only to realize that it was you that went through it. It was almost like an out-of-body experience. A Sabbath day rest. And all the fall festivals leading into the end occur in the Sabbath month. Another one of those lucky coincidences, huh? There are no coincidences with God. These are the moed of God. These are God's appointments. These all speak of the return of the king. That's why they haven't been fulfilled yet, because he hasn't come back yet. Okay? So they all occur in the Sabbath month. And I would say to you that they all are going to require us to have a better knowledge of a Sabbath day rest in God, because they're not going to be fun. Well, the last one will be fun, but the others are not going to be fun. As most of you know, I'm not a pre-tribulation rapture fan. My cousin listened to one of my CDs. He's going to hear this. And he emailed me and said he had some conflict between, you know, the rapture and stuff. And I'm not saying there's not a rapture. The gathering together with the saints is a very clear doctrine. It's not a matter of are we going to be gathered with the Lord. It's going to more of a matter of when are you going to be gathered with the Lord. And I'm of the contention that the pre-tribulation rapture is a Johnny-come-lately doctrine, which none of the fathers believed. And it has weak arguments. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. I'm glad to talk to anybody about it. I'm not trying to shake your faith. But it's one of these things where if you're a pre-trib fan and you're wrong, you're going to have some problems during trib. If like me, you're not a pre-trib fan and I'm wrong, so what? You can bawl me out on the way up. Until we get up there, and then we'll forget all about it, right? So, better to err in that way. Anyhow, most of the arguments are lightweight. God wouldn't let bad things happen to his people. God, how could God pour out his wrath on the earth with his people? Well, how could God curse Egypt? Well, his people were in Egypt. It was easy. There was darkness in the land of Egypt, but there was light in the land of Goshen. Not all of the plagues in Egypt came upon the people of God. They were protected. And by the way, that's a picture. So, anyway, I'm talking about what I said I wasn't going to talk about. Jewish oral law, and we've talked about oral law. Some oral law is good, some oral law is not good. Oral law that conflicts with the scripture is not good, whether it be church oral law or it be historic Jewish law. Nevertheless, by Jewish oral law, the month of Elul, which is the month preceding the month Tishrei, which is the seventh month, so in the sixth month, on day one, they begin what they call the days of Teshuvah, which are the days of repentance. And they begin to examine their lives preceding the Sabbath month festivals. Okay? So here we are in the wilderness, and we know that the holidays that are to come are the holidays of great awe. And it would be good for the church to begin to examine her heart. It would be good for every believer to prepare their heart. 40 days of teshuva, to repent or to return. After 30 days, it's Tishrei, or the seventh month, okay? And guess what happens on the first day of Tishrei? It is Rosh Hashanah, which is not the right name for it, okay? That, as most Jews would tell you, Rosh Hashanah is the New Year's. It's the first day of the Sabbath month, and that's what they call it. We'll go back and talk about that in a minute. And then on the 10th day, which would be the end of the 40 days, it's Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. Anybody know what happens on Yom Kippur in the Old Testament, in the format of the Jewish worship as is portrayed in the five books of Moses? Well, four of the five books. Anyone? Day of Atonement? You guys don't know that? That's the day when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. That's the only day when he goes in there. They tie bells around his gown and they put a rope around him in case he goes in there and God doesn't accept him, and poof, the bells stop, they haul him back out. Because if they go in there, they're going to die. Remember, the Old Testament God is still the New Testament God. If you go into the presence of God without a blood sacrifice that is acceptable to him, you're going to die too. And that's why when people go before the living God who are not born again and do not have the blood of Christ sprinkled on them, they are going to die. God is not going to contaminate himself or the heaven that he's prepared for his saints, for people that will not repent, that will not accept what he spent his lifeblood on. So when people tell you, oh, I can't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell, you just remind them that he didn't send anybody to hell. Okay? It's like light and darkness. When you turn the light on, the darkness doesn't walk slowly out the door. It disappears. We cannot stand in the presence of a living God without the blood of Christ. He knows that, and he made provision for it. Those that go to hell will go to hell because they have rejected God's sovereign provision, which is freely given. Okay? That'll preach, right? Yeah, buddy. Hallelujah. Okay. Whew. This stuff scares me. So, in a heart prepared for these festivals, is repentance like a, you know, oh, I repent? Does that mean you have to be groveling on the floor, beating your chest? We can have a heart of repentance at all times, right? It's not bad. It doesn't, you know, you could be happy and repentant. In fact, if you're repentant, you should be happy. It's when you're not repentant that you shouldn't be happy. So your heart doesn't necessarily have to be heavy while you're in this attitude of repentance and preparation. Okay? So there you are, preparing your heart for the festivals that are to come. The Jews believe that the world was created. Well, actually, more technically, they believe Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. And that was the new year. Remember we talked early in the study of the feast, we said there were really two New Years. Depends on how legal you want to get. There's some Jews would tell you there's about six different New Years. When the trees were created and when the animals were created. But for our calendar usage, there's a civic calendar New Year, which would be Rosh Hashanah. And that had to do with debts and pledges. And then when God said to them on Passover, he said, this will be the first day of the year. He gave them a new year. And why was it a new year? Because you were born again. So there's a natural birth and then there's a spiritual birth. Well, this is the natural birth. And just for a little interesting picture for you, and you'd have to be Hebrew scholars, which I'm not, or read a good commentary, which I did. Tishrei is the month, the first day of Tishrei, and that's really means, it's an interesting word because if you take it apart and then reassemble it, it comes out as a day of awakening, or it's like a word trick with the month Tishrei and Adam being born. And it's kind of interesting, and that's why they say that Adam was born on that day. I don't know. Some oral law scares me. Psalm 89. But some of it I think we're going to find is really right. And what's the chances that all the letters in the month Tishrei are all the... Well, anyway. All right, we're going to read Psalm 89, 1 through 17. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant. This is the Lord speaking now. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise thy wonder, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to you, to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee, O mighty Lord? Thy faithfulness also surrounds thee. Thou dost rule the swelling of the sea. When its waves rise, thou dost still them. Thou thyself didst crush Rahab like one who is slain. Thou didst scatter thine enemies with thy mighty arm. Rahab here and in a lot of places refers to Egypt. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, the world and all it contains, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shout for joy at thy name. Thou hast a strong arm. Thy hand is mighty, thy right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thee. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they rejoice all the day, and by thy righteousness they are exalted, for thou art the glory and their strength, and by thy favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King is the Holy One of Israel. Okay, I guess we're reading through 18. So wouldn't it be great if you could read in the original language? And you would find when you read verse 15, it said, how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. What do you think the joyful sound is? Get out your Hebrew interlinear, and you'll find out it's the sound of the shofar. Beep, 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 beep. Now, the name, back to Leviticus 23, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder, by the blowing of the shofar. Oh, a holy convocation. Why is the Feast of Trumpets called Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. Somebody changed it. Because its real name is the Day of Trumpets. The Day of the Sound. Are any of you waiting for the sound of a trumpet? A trump shall sound. That's right. Huh. I wonder, could this have anything to... Nah. Maybe. The real name for this day is Yom Teruah, or Yom Teruah. Okay, it's the day of the sounding of the trumpet. Or the day of the awakening blast. As we study this festival, I want you to think of two words, trumpet or shofar, and awakening. Okay, let those be key words. Because to the Jewish mind waiting for the Messiah, those are two key words. And they're always associated with Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, thank you, or Yom Teruah. It's amazing how much Jews don't know about their own religion. No one taught me any of that when I was growing up. How sad. How sad to have the covenants and the calling and to be ignorant and blinded. But that could be said of us also. We have to be very careful because of the great salvation that we have, that we don't disdain it, that we don't ignore it, that we don't form some sort of an external religion with only a shadow of what God has given us. We have a relationship with the living God. And we're waiting for that great trumpet to sound. Okay, so in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder, the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. Ah, it's a Sabbath, the sounding of the trumpet. When God sounds the trumpet, what's your job? To hear it. Okay, so John 14, verse 15. Just one verse we're going to read, but not unless I find it. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What's your responsibility? Keep his commandments. How do you keep his commandments? You have to hear them. How can you respond to the trumpet if you don't listen? Listen for the trumpet. Begin to have the heart of repentance, teshuva, in preparation for what's coming. Let God stroke your heart in preparation for the sounding of the trumpet that's going to come. Isaiah 42. Verse 11. Let the wilderness and its voices lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountain. I did that for time. If you read the whole chapter, it starts out with, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Listen for the trumpet. Be ready to shout. The Messiah is coming back. And we, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about heralding the return of the Messiah. And there's a lot of Jews that believe that we can enhance his return. I'm of the persuasion that the moed of God, the appointments are set. He's coming back, ready or not, here I come. Okay? But we could get ready. We could get our hearts ready for the appointments of God. Because God has put his Spirit upon his servant. He's fulfilled the spring festivals. The fall festivals are upon us. Kiddies, wake up. Israel's a nation. Do you realize that in 1930, I just picked that date, but prior to 1948, if you told most Christians that Israel was going to be restored as a nation, they would say you were a kook. That the Spirit of God had departed from them, Ichabod, and had moved on to his new people, the church. And he was done with the Jews. And a lot of those people were not anti-Semitic. They really, really, really believed that. And now, Israel's been a nation since 48. Israel has regained Jerusalem since 67. No longer is Jerusalem trodden down or under the authority of the Gentiles. Now some of these scriptures like Matthew 24 begin to fall into context. And you realize that we're close. We're real close. The fall festivals are upon us. Isaiah 44. Let's pick it up at 21. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. God will protect his people. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. God has your coupon. Amen. And it's not 50% off. One free lost person. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout for joy, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into a shout of joy, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. God is getting ready. The trumpeter is tuning up, baby. It's coming. And unless you die prematurely, chances are you're going to be here for it. Well, I don't know. I'm almost 60. So my back hurts. My teeth are falling out. My eyes, I got 12 lenses. Maybe. Come quickly, Lord. Ephesians 5. I'm going to read two more scriptures. Well, actually, I have about... I lied. So he's next week. Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Keep in mind the 40 days of Teshuvah. Keep in mind the days of repentance that lead up to the sounding of the trumpet. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you. You know what happens? Jewish tradition. On New Year's Day, the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, okay, or Yom Rosh Hashanah, as we now call it. Guess what they say God does? He opens up three sets of books. He opens up the Book of Righteousness for those that are in, baby, in. He opens up the Book of the Unrighteous for those that are out, baby, out. And he opens up another book where it's not quite decided yet. And by Jewish oral law, those books stay open till the Day of Atonement. And then they're closed. Blessed are those whose name is written in the Book of Life. So, keep that in your mind, preparation for this, as you read Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Live a life of ongoing repentance. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But don't let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Go to Isaiah 26. Quickly. Remember, Paul's a rabbi. He doesn't know the New Testament. There is no New Testament. He knows the Old Testament. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter in. The one that is remains faithful, the steadfast of mind, thou will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it to the ground. He casts it to the dust. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee eagerly. Thy name and thy memory is a desire of our souls. At night my soul longs for thee. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks thee diligently. For when the earth experiences thy judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Though the wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, thy hand is lifted up, yet they do not see it. They see thy zeal for the people and are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour thy enemies. Lord, thou wilt establish peace for us, since thou hast also performed for us all our works. O Lord, our God, other masters besides thee have ruled over us. But through thee alone we confess thy name. The dead will not live. The departed spirits will not rise. These are the heathen dead he speaks of. Therefore, thou hast punished and destroyed them, and thou hast wiped out all remembrance of them. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast extended all the borders of the land. O Lord, they sought thee in distress. They could only whisper a prayer. O Lord, help us. Thy chastening was upon them. Who does God chasten? Does he chasten the heathen? No, he judges those that won't repent. Those that he chastens are his children for redemptive purposes. God doesn't spank his kids because he's mad, because he loses his temper. He disciplines everyone that is a son for the purpose of maturity. Verse 15, as the pregnant woman gives birth, approaches the time and gives birth, she rises and cries out in her labor pains, thus we were before thee, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed in labor, we gave birth as it was only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born. You cannot save anybody. You can't fix the problems of the world. Only God can do that. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Where's the resurrection of the dead taught? Is that a New Testament doctrine? I don't think so. Come, my people, enter into your rooms. Close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. There's a time of judgment coming upon planet earth. The trumpet is about to sound. God wants his people to have a heart of repentance in preparation for this time. Recognize that any good thing that we do, we accomplish, whether you're a speaker as I'm talking to you now, or you're a secret agent out on your job, you know, knocking on doors and looking for opportunities to speak the word of truth. The only thing you can accomplish is by the Spirit of God. If you do it yourself, you'll come up short. It has to be God-breathed. And in a heart attitude of preparation like that, we'll be ready, because God has already got rooms provided for us. They're either rooms in death waiting for the resurrection, when awake, O sleeper, or they're rooms of provision in the midst of the fearful fallen world that becomes judged. In either case, God knows how to protect his people. Okay, we're going to stop there. We're going to have to go back over some of this stuff. But please remember to pray for me regarding this so I can put it together that the Lord will help us, because they're unfulfilled festivals. The time of repentance in preparation for the return of the King is upon us. Lord God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the fact that you do nothing except you reveal it through your prophets. And that's why we can look back and the clues are there. Give us revelation so our hearts will be prepared and we'll be useful tools in the hand of the King. In the name of Jesus, amen.